Good morning. Just listening to the songs, it was My Lighthouse, When Sea Billows Roll. Seems to be a lot of nautical things going on in the songs today. And as a person who did a lot of boating, I know a lot of about these issues. There's something called the rules of the road when you're on the ocean. And different vessels give way to other vessels in a particular order. And I heard a story of a Navy ship, all right, that was traveling through a storm, and another ship was coming directly at them. And the admiral gets on the microphone and he says, you move 20 degrees starboard. And the reply was, you move 20 degrees starboard. So he says, I'm an admiral in the U.S. Navy. Move 20 degrees starboard. The reply was, you move 20 degrees starboard. So he says, I'm an admiral. I'm on a destroyer. I have 15 20-inch guns and four Tomahawk missiles. Highly suggest you move 20 degrees starboard. The reply was, I'm a lighthouse. Highly suggest you move 20 degrees starboard. My lighthouse, my lighthouse. The Bible says that your word is a lamp unto our feet. All right? And that's the word of God. And we have to heed it in order for it to have any effect. Today, the piece of the lamp that we're going to look at is 1 Chronicles 7:16 through 27, and it's a prayer that David makes. And I'm going to read the prayer real quick, but I'm going to, as I read it, there's one word I'm going to say louder than all the other words, so keep your ears open. All right, then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? And as if this weren't enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future of your house of your servant. You, Lord God, have looked on me as though I were most exalted of men. What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant, Lord. For the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. There is no one like you, Lord, and there is no God but you. And we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth, whose God went out to redeem a people for himself and to make a name for yourself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You made your people Israel your very own forever. And you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised, so that it will be established and that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, the Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God. And the house of your servant David will be established before you. You, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. You, Lord, are God, and have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight, for you, Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. All right. So if we go to the first sentence of that verse, it says, King David went in and sat before the Lord. And I have a question. How often do we do that? Right, just sit before the Lord. Anybody in the room see the movie War Room? Raise your hand if you've seen it. All right. So the woman had a place in her house where she went and sat before the Lord. And I think it's a good idea, just the first sentence of that prayer, that all of us have some place where we could go and just spend quiet time with the Lord. Another thing I noticed right off the bat is that David is praying. And if you read the Bible, David seems to pray a lot. Most of the Psalms are his prayers. Someone earlier talked about prayer. And what does the Bible say about prayer? In Thessalonians 5:16, it says, pray without ceasing. All right. Now, is that possible? Can you just pray 24/7? There's other verses that say pray always, pray continually. And I don't think they mean kneeling down 24/7 with your hands folded, but I think it's talking about just being connected with God all the time, even in the little things. You know, I'm a sound man. Not really. I don't know much about it. I just turn a knob. If everybody gets mad, I don't turn it that way. You know, it's but you know what I noticed about everything in the sound booth? That it works best when it's plugged in. All right? As a matter of fact, if something isn't working and you go to the troubleshooting, the first thing always says, see if it's plugged in. So that's my question today. Are you plugged in? All right. Or is there no power? All right. So another thing is David prays the right things. All right. The first thing he says is, who am I, Lord? All right. That's humble. All right. Who am I? Like, you know, why are you even looking at me, God? All right. David considers himself unworthy. He considers David little and God big. All right. And he goes on to say, and what's my family and that you've brought me this far? And if this weren't enough in your sight, my God, you have spoken about the future house of your servant. And that's the eternal kingdom David's going to have. You, Lord God, have looked on me as if I were the most exalted of men. See, when God looks at David as big, I mean, David looks at God as big, then God looks at David as big. And it could be the other way, too. If you think of yourself as big, you're going to be little. All right. Now, I'd like to contrast this with the king before David, who was Saul. All right, so David is humble. David's seeking the Lord. David wants to do the Lord's will. And the previous king, Saul, one of the prophets, Samuel, says to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. You would have had an eternal kingdom. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Now that's an interesting statement. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And that's a question we should ask ourselves. How's our heart? Am I seeking the Lord? And you know what? A funny thing is that if your heart isn't right, in a way it's okay, because I know a great heart surgeon. All right, but we're going to get to him later. Right now we're staying on David. All right. In Acts, Paul is talking to a group of people, and he's going over a chronological history of the things that happened in Israel. And he says this, men of Israel and you who fear God, listen, the God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. And after that, he gave them judges for about 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. That's a real good thing for God to be saying about you. That's where I want to end up. I want God to say, Mike is a man after my own heart. All right. And if the last sentence says, from this man's seed, according to the promise, God raised up Israel a Savior, Jesus. And there's your heart surgeon. And that's David's eternal kingdom. Now, why is God giving David this kingdom, this eternal kingdom? And why is God putting all this good stuff on David? Because David looks at God as big and himself as small. Now, if we go into back to Chronicles and we go up to verse 20, it says, there is no one like you, Lord, and there is no God but you. You know what that is? That's love talk. You ever see two people dating? You're the only girl for me. And, you know, you're the only one, honey. I have a question. Are you smitten with the Lord Jesus Christ? All right. So that's actually the basis of all good relationships. You ever see people who get divorced? All right. They used to be happy when each one thought of the other one. You know, when the relationship falls apart, when each one starts thinking about themselves. All right. So we put God first, and guess what God's doing? Putting us first. That's the way, that's the correct, but that takes humility on our part. All right. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, another thing I noticed about David is that the words he uses, right, David actually refers to himself as servant 10 times in that prayer. All right? And he's the king. All right? A lot of leaders in today's world don't think of themselves as servants anymore. All right. Now, another contrast, David says, who am I, Lord? And I want to contrast this with another king, Pharaoh, who said this to Moses, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? And as we know, Pharaoh didn't end up too well. All right, plagues, lost his kid, lost his army. Pride doesn't take you nowhere. All right. Now, another thing about the prayer, if we go to verse 23, God is going to bestow all this stuff on David. And David says this, and now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised. All right, so he's telling God, do what you said you're going to do. Then he says, why? All right, so that your name will be great forever. All right, I don't want you to bless me so because I'm going to get blessings. I want you to bless me so your name could be great forever. Now, I looked through the Bible and I was trying to find this concept of people having humility. And I did some word searches, and I found several people, and I want to talk about them. And one of them is Moses. And in Numbers 12, it says this, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed only spoken through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. All right, that's pretty humble. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face. You want to have a close relationship with God? Be humble in his sight. I also found Solomon. And in Kings 3:6 it says, "And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness to him, and you gave him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your king, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to come in or go out. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" See, he's made king, and he asks for wisdom. All right. The next sentence says, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor asked for riches, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but has asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after. And I have also given you what you have not asked, riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways, keep my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." So Solomon is the same as David, all right, where he's not asking for the prayers for himself. He's wanting God's will to be done. And then one other person was Jesus Christ. And in Philippians, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance of men, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him." All right. Now, in the beginning of the talk, I talked about this word I was going to say louder, and it was the word forever. And I was pondering that word. All right. Forever is a long time. I'm doing some math, and if you know what a number line is, you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that'll go forever, all right? And you could go the other way, minus, it goes forever, all right? And my mind doesn't grasp forever, all right? I think there has to be an end, you know, it can't go on forever. But then you say to yourself, well, what about when you get to the end? What's 3 feet later? It's got to be more. All right. So the human mind, we have a finite mind. It's hard for us to wrap our head around what forever is. All right. But God's blessings are forever blessings. All right. If you go to heaven, it will be forever. After 20 trillion years, you will have no less time than you started off with. All right, so I'm taking this online math class, and I'm doing these timelines, and if it's called school yourself, you could go online and do it yourself, all right? And I got a little excerpt, and it says, "So far, all the decimal arithmetic we've done has involved decimal numbers with a finite number of decimals. However, sometimes decimal numbers are infinite. Right. Make sure you don't confuse infinite decimals, and this is weird, with infinite decimals, but they're spelled differently. All right. Although a number can sometimes be both, they're not the same thing. Even though they sound exactly the same when pronounced aloud, thanks again, English. All right. Infinite decimals sometimes show up when we convert fractions into decimals. Now, I'm going to give you an example. All right, let's say I have a pizza in front of me, and I cut it into three pieces. That would be one-third, one-third, and one-third. So if I had this piece of pizza, and it's right here, I could say my piece of pizza starts here, my piece of pizza ends there. But now if I convert it to a decimal, it's 0.33333333 forever. All right, and that's, I can't grasp that. All right. Now, I actually thought about that, and I said to myself, you know, this could be your out on your message, because you could just keep saying 3-3-3-3-3-3-3 until the end, and then say, okay, thanks, guys, it's over. All right, so it's forever. All right. And forever's a long time. My wife hates Mondays. You think Mondays are long, honey? All right, forever's long. All right. Now, as I was reading this thing online, they were showing the threes, and then it says that you could stop and just put three dots. Dot, dot, dot. And mathematically, that means it's going forever. All right? All right, so here's the question. All right, how many people have been to a cemetery lately? All right. Anybody? All right. All right. If you have been to a cemetery lately, or even not lately, you've been to one. You notice that there's these things called gravestones. All right. And on them, there's dates. So you may see one that says 1953-2019. All right. All right. That dash is your life. All right. That's a finite number. All right. I'm looking around the room. I don't know. I'm not really good at math. That's why I'm practicing it. But I'm going to guess the average person in the room is 50. All right. That's a guess. All right. Now, this is the question I have to ask you. 50. How'd that happen? All right. There's one more click and it's over and you're meeting your maker. And that's infinite and that's forever. So the question isn't, am I pleased doing dash? It's, am I going to end up in the right place for dot, dot, dot? That's what's going to matter. Because I'm going to tell you, 500 trillion years from now, you aren't even going to remember what happened here. I'm going to walk up to you in heaven and go, remember Earth? You're going to go, that sounds so familiar. All right. You're not even going to remember half this stuff. What you put importance on here should be eternal. I heard a statement from a pastor. He said, if it's not eternal, it's eternally useless. Now, another thing I want to look at is, how do you get to heaven? All right. The Bible says we have this sin problem. All right. And a lot of people don't get with that. Yeah, they don't like that word. All right. But it's a real, you know, if you have a disease, you go to the doctor and you tell them, this is what I got wrong with me. He can't fix you unless you tell him. All right. So one of the things we have to do is we have to come to terms with that we are sinners. And if you told one lie in your whole life, you're a sinner. And if you tell me that you haven't told a lie, you're lying again. All right. If you stole something, and some people say this, you know, I never stole nothing big. I took a paperclip from work and stuff. All right. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It doesn't put a value on the object. It just says, thou shalt not do it. All right. The Bible says you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. All right. You ever pull that off yet? All right. We tend to love ourselves with all our mind, all our heart, and all our soul. All right. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. All right? Now, a lot of people will even say, well, I never really used his name in a curse, which is very common today. It says in vain. That means without the proper reverence. All right? Or when there was no need to use his name, it's not appropriate. All right? And if we go through these commandments, you're going to find out you're guilty of every single one. And so am I, by the way. And a lot of people get to that one where they say, you shouldn't murder. And they go, I'm innocent there. Never killed anybody. Guess what you have? And I'll explain it to you. All right. If I'm robbing a bank and I run in with my gun, but then I fall down because I have a heart attack, I'm still a thief. I just didn't get the opportunity. All right. There isn't anybody walking the face of the planet. Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother, you're a murderer. Right, you know what stops people from murdering other people? The fear of the fear of jail. All right. I'm sure I would have killed at least one person in my life if there was no consequence, because I've been that angry at least several times. All right. So the thing is, the Bible says, guess what? You're a murderer. All right, you're a coveter. All right, you're an adulterer. All right. God's not looking at the action. You could say, I never cheated on my wife. He's not looking at the action. He's going, you looked at another girl. All right? You cheated on her with your heart. See, God's looking, God magnifies the law. We tend to try to shrink it. All right? So the solution to this problem, all right, is that Jesus Christ. Now, why can't God just let us into heaven? Hey, come on, you know what? Just letting you in. Throwing away the rules. All right? Because then he would be a corrupt judge. All right? There has to be a way for God to legally let us into heaven. And if anybody's ever been in a courtroom, all right, and people in the room, you got teenage kids, has anybody ever paid a parking ticket for your kid or a speeding ticket? All right, so the kid gets a ticket, $50. The father pays. What does the judge say to the kid? You're good. You can walk. Somebody else paid your fine. Now the judge could legally let you walk out of the courtroom. All right, so that's why there has to be this transaction that Jesus Christ died on a cross for. All right. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. All right? God is holy by nature. All right? And if we look at holiness as fire, if I had a candle here and it was lit and that represented holiness and I had a dried up leaf from outside and I put it in the fire, what happens? The leaf ignites, because that's the nature of fire and that's the nature of leaves. All right? God's holy. And by nature, all right, attacks sin. All right, by nature, that's what happens to sin. So we have to have the sin problem. We have to have our sin atoned for. All right. Now, one of the things is, anybody in the room ever watch Columbo? All right. So when you watch Columbo, he commonly figures things out walking around like this. Rubbing his chin. All right. I do that when I'm putting together my messages. I pace back and forth in the parlor and I'm thinking about things. And I'm thinking about this eternity and forever and I'm pondering it. And then I'm thinking of other Bible verses that talk about forever and directions. And as I'm pacing back and forth, I'm going through scriptures. I come across a scripture. It says, and this is forever too. It says, as far as east is from west, that's how far your sin is removed if you have Christ. And I'm like, that's infinity that way, and that's infinity that way. Is that a double infinity? Is it even longer than infinity? All right. And I'm sitting there, I open up a drawer, I'm pulling out a compass. I'm going, oh, that's east, that's west. That way forever, that way forever. And something happened. And is Gavin in the room or did he leave? Oh, I was going to ask Gavin to do me a favor. Can you do me a favor? I guess he's in. Come on up here. I want you to hold this up. All right, a little lower, a little lower. So I'm standing in my room with this compass, and I'm going like this. My sin is forgiven as far as east is from west. What position do I end up in? On the cross. All right, that's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's how our sins are removed. All right. There's no other way. All right. Man likes to think he can make all these ways, but that's the only way. I got three young people over here. You want to play a game?
Sure.
Here, come on up, all three of you. We're going to play a game and then we'll call it. All right. Just like TV, we got cash prizes. Here, here's a 20. I'm going to put it here. All right, $20 is good. All right, can you three contestants stand here? I want three opinions. I'm going to start with you. What does a person have to do to get that $20 bill?
Ask.
What does a person have to do to get that $20 bill?
Grab it.
What does somebody have to do to get that $20 bill?
Take it.
How come nobody has a $20 bill? Everybody says they know how to get it.
Nobody went to get it.
All right. So what do you got to do to get it? Oh, you just made $20. No, you keep it. It's yours. Now, here's the thing. Here's the point. She just made $20. Everybody said they knew what to do. One person grabbed it. Salvation is like that. You guys can have a seat. No, you keep it. Salvation, you have to grab it. You have to grab the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we wear him like he's clothing. You grab him, you put him on. They were talking about lighthouses and boats. He's the life preserver. All right, grab it. When they throw it off the ship, you have to grab it. If not, you will perish. All right, there is a heaven. There is a hell. It's not pleasant to talk about. However, I'd rather talk about it and you stay out of there than I don't talk about it and you end up there. All right? I'd like to just close with a quick prayer. Lord, we thank you for being our God. We lift up your name, Lord, and we're asking that if anybody is in this room, Lord, even one person, Lord, who has not sought your face, Lord, that today this would be the day. That they would be a new creation, Lord, that this would be the year. This would be their New Year's gift to themselves, Lord, that they would grasp hold of eternity, Lord, that they would just accept you. We just ask, Lord, that if anybody is not saved, that, Lord, you chase them out of this place, that you hound them, Lord, that you follow them, that you do not relent, Lord, until they are. We ask, Lord, that you would put it upon all of us, Lord, to seek your face, to pray like David, and to be mighty warriors in the kingdom of God, as David was. And it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.